The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayera. In Vayera we learn about Abraham, as we did in last week's Parshas Lech Lecha. And now after the Bris Milah, the angels came to Abraham and to cure him and to be mevaseh, to tell him in Sora that they will have a child, and about the chesed of Abraham, the kindliness that he shows to the angels, the achnosis orchim, the taking in of wayfarers. Now, we have Gimel Oves, we have the three forefathers, and together with their wives, they're known as Oves, like we spoke about last week, forefathers, and they created the Amudim of Klal Yisrael, the pillars for Yisrael, the pillars for the world, and therefore they're all called Oves. Oves means someone who has told us, who has children. And children doesn't necessarily mean children, actual children, but it means that they create and they contribute something. They build. And each one is called an Av, because each one built a particular pillar, a particular foundation to the house of Israel. And each one in his own way. And this is why we find, as we mentioned last week, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, that we say in our davening, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchok, and the God of Yaakov. Each one built an approach, contributed a foundation in the way to come to the Almighty. And our rabbis teach us that these are the three pillars that is spoken about in the beginning of Masechta Oves, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'olem Aymed, that the world stands on three pillars, Al Atere, Val Aveda, Val Gemilis Chasodim. Chesed, kindliness, acts of kindliness, like we see in this Parsha, this was the pillar of Avraham. This is what he gave to the world. And Avoda is to serve the Almighty as an Eved L'Rabbi, as a servant to a master. And that encompasses basically all of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, the service of the Beis HaMikdash of the Temple, and also of the Mitzvahs Bein Odom L'Mokim, the Mitzvahs between man and the Almighty. This was the pillar of Yitzchok. And Torah, this was the pillar of Yaakov. And each one built according to his midah, according to his particular character and quality. The pillar of Avraham, which also was the first pillar, first foundation of the house of Israel, is called Chesed. And the Sheirish, the root of Chesed, the source of Chesed, is Av, is love. Because it is when you have love for a fellow man that you want to do Chesed for him. Avas Chesed. Love is the source and the motivating power of Chesed to do kindliness to one another. The Gemara in Masechta Menaches and Daf Nun Gimel says the following. Yoveh Yedid Ben Yedid. Let my beloved, the son of my beloved, the Yivne Yedid, and let him build my beloved, Li Yedid, to the beloved, Bechelkei Shel Yedid, in the portion of the beloved, Yischapre Be Yedidim,
and it will be an atonement for those who I love. What does all of this mean? So the Gemara says, Yovel Yedid Zeshlema Melech. Let my beloved, who does Hashem call his beloved? The one that he loves, Shlema Melech, King Solomon. Why? It states in Shmuel Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. No, excuse me. In just a minute, in Shmuel Beis. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chof Dalet and Chof Hei, Vayinachem David Eis Bashevi Ishtai, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife, Batelet Bain, and she gave birth to a son, Vayikra Eshma Shlema, and they called his name Shlema, Vashem Ahevoi, and Hashem loved him. Vayishlach B'yad Nosen Hanovi, Vayikra Eshma Yedidjo, Bavur Hashem. And it was sent, they sent in the hands of Nosen, who was the Novi, the prophet, to call his name Yedidjo, Bavur Hashem, because of Hashem. Even though they had named him David and Bathsheba named him Shlomo, but because Hashem loved him, so Hashem gave him a name Yedidjo. So therefore, when it states, Yoveh Yedid, let my beloved, that refers to Shlema Melech, King Solomon. Ben Yedid, the son of my beloved. Who is the son of my beloved? Zeh Avraham. This refers to Avraham. Dichsiv mali yedidi bebeisi. It's a posuk in Yirmiyahu Yud Aleph, where Yirmiyahu says, mali yedidi bebeisi. What is my beloved doing in my house? And the Gemara says that refers to Avraham. Beyivne yedid, and let him go, Shlema the son of Avraham, and build the Beis HaMikdash. Build what is beloved to me. This is the Beis HaMikdash. This is the temple. Dixiv ma yedidus mishkanei secho. How beloved is to me my dwelling place, your dwelling place. Let him build it for the yedid, for the beloved one. Li yedid zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Hashem. Dixiv oshirona li yedidi, I shall sing out to my beloved. Bechelkei shel yedid, in the territory of my beloved one, zeh Binyamin. This is Binyamin. Shenema le Binyamin omar yedid Hashem yishkain levetach olav. It states in the Parsha Zeis HaBrocha, Dvorim Lamed Gimel, that Binyamin was called yedid Hashem, the beloved one of Hashem, and Hashem will dwell in his territory through the Beis HaMikdash. Yischapre by yedidim, and it will be an atonement to my beloved. Elu Yisrael, this refers to Yisrael. Dechsiv nasati es yedidus nafshi bekaf eveha. Yirmiyahu said that you have given my beloved into the hand of your enemy. So, the Gemara says, Yoveh Yedid, let my beloved, the son of Yedid, the son of my beloved, that's Shlema, the son of Avraham, the Yivne Yedid, and let him build my beloved, that's the Beis HaMikdash, Li Yedid, for the beloved one, for the Almighty, Bechelchei Shel Yedid, in the territory of my beloved one, that was Binyamin, V'yishchaper Yedidim, and it will atone for my beloved ones. What do we see from this Gemara? That the Yedid, the first Yedid, is the Almighty. And the next Yedid, the next beloved one, was Avraham. So of people, of the creations, the first one to be called the Yedid, my beloved, is Avraham. Later on, the Gemara brings a case, here, this same Gemara. The Gemara brings a case. Omer B'Yitzchok, B'sho Shechora Beis HaMikdosh, Motzoa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Avraham Shehoya Emid B'Beis HaMikdosh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, he came there and he saw Avraham was standing there. Omer Lei Mal Yedidi B'Beisi. So he said, and he quoted this posuk from Yirmiyahu, what is my beloved one doing in my house? See, he referred to Abraham as my beloved one. Tosfos brings, in the name of Rabbi Natan, here, and also he brings at the end of Perek Reb Lezer de Milo, in Masechet Shabbos, that because of this, the bracha that we have on the Milo, at the end of the Bris Milo, we make a bracha, and the bracha starts, Asher Kiddush Yedin Mibetin, he who has sanctified my beloved one in the womb. Eimer Rabbeinu Tam, Hainu Avraham, Shenikri Yedid. This refers to Avraham. Asher Kiddush Yedin Mibetin, that the one who sanctified my beloved one in the womb, this refers to Avraham, because we see Avraham is called the beloved one. We can ask the question though, where was Avraham sanctified in the womb? And it's because of this that the Rashi actually learns it refers to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the one that was sanctified in the womb, because Yitzchak was already born Bikdusha. He was already born with sanctity. Avraham was born amongst idolaters, and he didn't come to the Almighty till much later, like we learned in last week's Parsha. So he says no. Rabbi Natan says no. It refers to Avraham because we find Avraham is called Yedid. And he brings a medrash that states, now we have in our parsha, a little further, after the angels leave, and Hashem is going to send one of these angels now to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked cities. And he did not tell Avraham about it. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, in the beginning of the Parsha, Vashem Omar, it says, Vayakumi Mishama Anoshim, the people got up, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayashkif Al Pnei Sdeim, and they looked toward stone, Vayavram Haylech Imam Lishalchom, and Avraham was going with them to send them off. Vashem Omar Amachas Ani Me Avraham Asher Ani Aise, is it right that I should conceal from Avraham what I'm doing, and I shouldn't tell him about it? And Avraham will be such a great nation from him, and all of the nations will be blessed because of him. Now, the simple meaning would mean, because I know that he will command his sons and his household afterwards, Shomru derech Hashem lasi tzedoko mishpot, and they will guard the way of Hashem to do tzedoko mishpot, charity and justice. But the word yedativ, if we translate it that way, does not have a good meaning, as Rashi brings. Therefore Rashi says yedativ means, from the word yedia, to bring close. Rashi says loshin chibo, to bring close, to be beloved. Like we say by Boaz, Hello, Boaz Modatenu. Someone, Loshin Yediyah Shemachave Vesodom Mikirbe, Mekarve Etzle, Beyedeu Makirei. Someone that you know very well, you bring close to you. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, Yodativ, I have brought him close to me, and he will command his children and his household afterwards. So Rabbi Natan brings as a medrash, and we find this posuk yodativ in a posuk in Tanakh, in Yeshayahu Chav Beis. Now in Yirmiyahu Aleph, it states, Yirmiyahu Aleph posuk hey. Beterem etzorcho vabeten yedaticho. Before I made him, I already knew him in the womb. Now here we have that same word yedaticho. So the Medrash says, just like it states in our parsha, ki yedativ, I know Avraham. I have brought him close. And here in Yirmiyahu it states that posuk, Babetim Yidaticha. So we say it's referring to Avraham. And what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Beterem etzorcha vabetin yidaticha. Before I have made him, I already knew him in the womb. Uveterem teitzei meirechem hikdashticha. And before he went out of the womb, I have already sanctified him. Novi lagoyim nesaticha, and I have made him for a prophet amongst nations. So we see that Avraham was sanctified in the womb. We can go a little further to say that the word yadativ, our sages tell us that yadativ has even a further meaning. It's from the word das. And das means not only to know something, but das means chibur, that when something is known so well, it becomes a part of a person. There are different levels of understanding. There's chokhmah, there's bina, there's das. And das is the highest level when something is known so well that it actually becomes part of the person. It goes into his nature and becomes part of him. So now we can say that when Hashem said that how can I not disclose what I'm doing to Avraham, what I'm doing to Sdom v'Amora, ki yadativ, I have brought him so close to me, I have made him a part of me, so how can I not divulge to him, disclose to him what I'm going to do? To a stranger, you don't tell what you're doing. But to yourself, you must tell. And ki yadativ, I have brought him so close to me, where he's so much of a part of me, how can I not disclose to him? And that's what the Medrash says, that Yirmiyahu said, Beterem etzorcho babetin yidaticho. That before he was already complete, I already knew him, I made him a part of me in the womb. And before he went out of the womb, he was sanctified. Because he was part of me, he was sanctified. How do you become sanctified? You can become sanctified by coming close to the Almighty. It states that, Kideshim tiyu ki kodush oni. You should be sanctified, because I am sanctified, by coming close to me. Novi lagoim nesaticha, I have made him for a prophet amongst the nations. So Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, when it says in the bracha that we make after the Bris Milah, Asher kiddush yedid mi beten, he who has sanctified the yedid, the beloved one, in the womb. He says it's not referring to Yitzchok, even though Yitzchok certainly was sanctified in the womb. But the Yadid is Avraham, like we see here in the Gemara, the beloved one. And therefore it's referring to Avraham. And Avraham was sanctified, even though apparently he wasn't, because we only know about Avraham much later. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew of Avraham in the womb of his mother, before he was created yet. And he sanctified him and brought him close. Diksib b'Avraham ki yedati, v'ksib b'Yirmiyahu b'terem etzorcho b'abet yedaticho. So here we see that Avraham was known as the Yadid, and the Almighty was known as the Yadid, the Beloved One. Avraham was also called Ohavi, my beloved. And the Rambam brings at the very end of Hilchos Tshuva the Rambam says there are many levels in serving the Almighty. Some serve the Almighty because out of duty. See? Out of duty, just like a person serves a master out of duty, some serve the Almighty out of duty. Others serve the Almighty because of fear. Yiras ha'onesh, fear of punishment, or fear for the greatness of Hashem. Others serve the Almighty because of reward. Reward on this world. Others serve the Almighty for reward for the next world. They want Olam Haba, Now all of these are good reasons. Good reasons to serve the Almighty. They're justified reasons. But he says the greatest level that a person can come to serve Hashem, is Leim Ibnei Shum Dover Ba'ilam. It is not for any other reason in the world except Avas Hashem. Because I have a love for an Almighty, for the Almighty. And he's referring to what would be called an Ava She'ena Tluya B'Dover. A love which is dependent on nothing else. Not because of duty, and not because of fear of punishment, and not because of fear of his greatness, or not because of hope for reward, either in this world or the next world. But for the basic pure love that one has for Hashem, and therefore he wants to serve him. Now, here we're talking about something which is very great and very, very difficult, because this is the greatest level of avoda, of serving Hashem. Person shouldn't say that I'm going to study Torah and I'm going to do mitzvahs in order to receive all of the brachas which are written in the Torah. Oh, kedeshe eske lechaye elam abor, even that I should have the world to come. Ve'efresh min ha'averish ezira teira mehen kedei she'notzl min ha'klolis ha'ksuvish b'teira. And I will remove, distance myself from avera, from the transgression, in order to save myself from the curses which are written in the Torah. Oh, kedeshe shalai ikores mechaye elam abor, in order that I should not be cut off from the next world. Now, even though later on the Rambam says these are all qualified and justified reasons, see, but nevertheless this is not the perfect way to serve Hashem. Because this is called serving either Meira from fear or for other reasons. Ha'avid me'ava, but he who serves Hashem because of love for Hashem, he does mitzvahs, he studies Torah, not for any other reason in the world, and not because he's afraid of punishment, and not because he wants the reward. He does it because it's the truth, and he does it for the sake of the truth. In the end, he'll definitely receive a reward for this, but this is not the cause why he's doing it. He's maile zu, he maile gedele mi od ve'ein kol chochem zeichelo. This level is such a great level that not only not all people come to this level, but even ein kol chochem zeichelo. Even not all of the wise come to this level. This was the level that Abraham served Hashem. Shekoro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him his beloved. States Zera Abraham Ohavai. The seed of Abraham, my beloved. Lefi Shalei Ovad Ela Me'avo. He served Hashem for no other reasons. He didn't go into the rewards, and he didn't go into the punishments, and he didn't go into other calculations, but because of an unending love for Hashem. The Rambam goes into detail what this means further. But at any rate, we see that this was the Amud, this was the pillar of Avraham. He was the one who was known as the Yadid, my beloved. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called Yadid. And if Yisrael later on are referred to as their beloved, that's because Avraham set the foundation. He built this pillar. Therefore he was called Ohavi, my beloved. And he set the the road for serving with love, fulfilling all of the mitzvahs, not for any other reason in the world except love. In general, we find that this was Abraham's life. Because when he first started to search for the Almighty, there wasn't a question of duty. If someone is given a mitzvah to do, he has a duty to fulfill it. But he wasn't given mitzvahs. He didn't know of mitzvahs. It wasn't a question of fear. People didn't know who God was. Rambam writes in another place, in the beginning of Hilchos Aveidah Zarah, that God was forgotten from the world at that time. The time of Noach, 10 generations before, Noach and his family knew. But now, he was forgotten from the world, with the exception of a few individuals that were scattered over in different places. And in Avraham's locale, in Ur Kasdim and Bovel, of the area of Iraq, no one knew of God. They started with worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars, and then idols and temples and so forth. And Avraham's father himself was an idolater. And he used to make idols to sell. And this is how Avraham was brought up. So it wasn't a question that he was serving because of fear of God. Nobody knew God. It wasn't a question that he was serving for the sake of reward. There were no prophets to tell us that there was reward. And still, with unending passion and with unending determination, he kept to search with a great love for the truth, and a great love that he believed that there was a creator in the world, someone who created this. He said, how is it possible that there should be such a beautiful palace and there is no balabais, there is no owner, there is no creator, no builder? And so is it with the world. He saw the entire world, and from there he knew that there must be a creator. And this love motivated him to understand the Almighty, to serve him, until he came with his own gigantic intelligence to understand the entire Torah, and Ekev Asher Shomato, that he fulfilled all of the mitzvahs on his own, Kedem Shenitno, before it was given. But we see this was his nature. This was his nature in Chesed. He went and he built hotels, lodging places on the roads, in order that travelers could have a place to stay. And here he laid the foundation of Achnosis Orchim, how to take care of wayfarers. Yitzaves Bonav Laseis Mishbarut Stoker. He is the one who laid the foundation for Stoker, for charity. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Matnes Aniyim, Perek Yud, at the beginning of Perek Yud, we quoted it many times. Chayovin onu lizore b'mitzvah stoker yeser mikol mitzvahs ese. That we are obligated to be more careful with the mitzvah of charity more than any other positive commandment. More than all positive commandments, we have to be more careful with this mitzvah. Why? Shat stoker simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu. Because all mitzvahs are important, but this mitzvah is a hallmark of the seed of Avraham. As it states, Ki yadati v'leman asher yitzav hizbonav la'aseh stoker. Hashem said that I know that his seed will do stoker. His seed will give charity. If they are the seed from Avraham, then they have to be charitable. Fact is, the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it, that Kol mishu achzori, the einam arachim, yeshlochus liyechusay. If you find someone who is cruel and not compassionate and does not share or give to others, he lacks the love or the compassion for others,
Yesh lochush liyachusai. He's under suspicion if he's from the seed of Avraham, because Avraham laid a foundation, a pillar of chesed in tzedakah, and this has to go into his seed. This was not only in Gashmias, not only physically, but in Ruchnias, in spiritual matters also. Where do we see this? Because Avraham went and he conducted a lifelong campaign to bring to people the knowledge of Hashem. It states that by Yikra v'shem Hashem, he called out to Hashem's name. What does that mean? That he used to, in his hotels and in his orchards, when people would come and he would offer them what to eat. And after they finished to eat, he would teach them about the Almighty. By Yikra v'shem Hashem. He would teach them how to call through the name of the Almighty. How? He would say, you finished eating now. And they would thank him. He would say, don't thank me, thank who you ate from. And they said, well, who did we eat from? And he would teach them to the Almighty, and he would teach them how to bench, how to call out to the name of Hashem. He went and he taught Torah to everyone. He, in his household, and Eliezer, Gemara brings in Masechet Yuma, that even Eliezer was a Rosh Yeshiva. He had a yeshiva in Eliezer. That he used to draw from the Torah of his master and teach to others, to the point where they had, that Rambam brings tens of thousands of followers. As it states in last week's parsha, as ha-nefesh asher osu b'chorum, the people that he made, he took with him, these were the people that he taught Torah to, at least the seven mitzvahs of Noach, that he and Sarah taught to. So we see that in general, Avraham was chesed. His life was full of this. Also we see that we learn from Avraham zrizus. States in several places, Avraham would be v'yashkim, Avraham baboker, he would get up early in the morning to fulfill the word of Hashem. Zrizus are teachers teach us. Zrizus means with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a byproduct of love. If a person has a great love for something, then he does it with enthusiasm. He can't wait until he can do it. We find that a task that we enjoy is very easy, no matter how great the task is. A task we don't enjoy is very difficult, no matter how small the task is. And those tasks, for some reason, get always left off for later. For later. What do we do first? What we have a love to do. And from Avraham, we learn Zrizus, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up early in the morning to be Makayim, the word of Hashem. This was a sign he wasn't doing it because of duty, and he wasn't doing it because of fear. He was doing it because of an abundance of Ava, of love. And the Mishnah in Masechet Ovis tells us, and this we quoted this Mishnah and we elaborated on this Mishnah in the Shir for Yom Kippur. But I'd like to go into it somewhat again now, because it can use some additional explanation. The Mishnah Masechet Ovis per Chamishi Mishnah Tezayin states, "Kol avo shehitluya bedover, all love which is dependent on something, botel dover, botel avo." So once that what the love was dependent on disappears, so the love also disappears. That means that if someone has a love for someone or for something, but there's ulterior motives, so once the ulterior motives disappear, the love also disappears. Breaks down. ushe'ena tluya bedover, an avado which is dependent on nothing else, ena betela leilam, then will never break down. Will be kayim, will last forever. Ezehi ava tluya bedover. Who is saying this Mishnah? This Mishnah seems that the one who is saying this Mishnah, no. No, there's in this perek it doesn't bring a name as to who is saying this, so it must be from maybe Rabbi Yehuda Anoshi. Now, what's an example of a love which is dependent on something else? Who avas amnin v'tomar, the love of amnin v'tomar. Usha'enet lo yibedover, zu avas David v'yohinesun, and a love which is dependent on nothing else. That's the love of David v'yohinesun. Amnin v'tomar. This the Tanakh brings in the Gemara that Amnon had a great physical desire for Tamar. Tamar was a daughter of David HaMelech. And Amnon had a great physical desire for her. And because of this, he loved her. And then he violated her. And after that, no longer did he love her, but it turned into a hatred. This was an ava tluy bedover. There were other reasons for this love. And what's a love which is ain't tluy bedover? Zu avas David v'yonison. David v'yonison had an enormous love for each other. And this, the Mishnah tells us, was a perfect love. It was dependent on no other factor. David v'Yehinus. Now, the Maral asks here, well, this is a question that many ask. We can ask two questions. Firstly, why doesn't it tell us that the strongest love is between a man and his wife? That would seem to be the strongest love when it looks for an example. Instead of bringing an example of Avas David v'Yehinesum. Second question we can ask, how is it possible? Or what is meant by an avar shena tluy bedover? An avar which is dependent on no other factor. Then why do you love the person? Generally we say that you love a person because of what he is. His character, his qualities, his good deeds, his good personality, his good nature. So then it's not an ava shena tluya bedover. It's not an ava which is a love which is dependent on no other factor. It's a love which is dependent on those factors. So why is it called a love which is dependent on no other factors? Rather, we should have said differently. We should have said an ava, a love for the person himself. For example, if you marry a woman because she's wealthy, all right, so there you're marrying her for other factors. But if you marry a woman because you have love for her herself, her qualities, then it's a love for her herself. But it's not a love which is dependent on nothing. And here the Tana, the author of this Mishnah, He's saying there's a love which is dependent on other factors. That's Amnon and Tomer. And that will disintegrate. And there's a love which is dependent on no other factors. And that's David V'Yonason. How is it possible a love that's dependent on no other factors? Now, in answer to the first question, as to why didn't it mention here, why didn't it mention here the love between a man and a woman when it's looking for the perfect love? That the answer to that is we find in the Novi, in the Nach, in Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, Posichovov, when David heard the news that Yohanneson was killed, he said, Sarli Olecho Ochi Yohanneson, how painful it is to me and you, because of you, my brother Yohanneson. Now I'm telling me old. Your pleasantness, your beauty was so much to me. Niflaso avoscho li. Your love for me was more wondrous, me avas noshim, the love of woman. So David testified that his love, the love between him and Yonason, was greater than avas noshim, than the love of a man and a woman. So this is why the Tanna didn't cite that as the example of the perfect love. But now we have the question, now we have another question, why? Why was it? And still we have that other question, what does it mean, a love which is based on no other factors? The Maral explains, he says that actually there are three levels of love. And the Tanna, this Mishnah, is telling us the two extremes. A love which is dependent on factors, that's one extreme. That will disintegrate. And the classical example of that is the example of Amnon v'Tomer. He loved her only because of a physical desire. So once that was removed, just like you build a building on a pillar. If the pillar is the foundation for the building, you remove the pillar and the building crumbles. His love was dependent solely on this ulterior motive. Once that was removed, the love disintegrated. That's one extreme. Then there's the other extreme. Anavashena tluya b'shum davar. A love which is dependent on no factors whatsoever. And that was David B'Yonason. And that love is eina b'teila la'olam. It lasts forever. Why? He says, the keach ha'ava, what is the power of love? Power of love is an ichud, a uniting factor, a uniting force. If you have two people and they are drawn together by a force to become one, this is ava. Incidentally, the next Mishnah which the Tanna learns is called Machlekes Hillel L'Shem Shemayim. He's speaking about Machlekes. But Machlekes, strife. This is just the opposite. Machlekes, which is the word chelek, is when you take something which is one and you make two out of it. You make three out of it. Division. Well, ava, love, is an ichud, where you take two and you make one out of it. It's a force that brings two people together, and if it's perfect, then they become one. Like it's mentioned in the Torah by Yaakov Avinu, when he heard that his son Binyamin might be lost, he said, "How can I live without him? Nafshi kshura v'nafshi. My soul is bound up with his soul to the point where they're one." So that's the other extreme. Now there are many, many middle cases. The love of a man and woman from one aspect, that's a love which is not dependent on any factor. Basically. What aspect is that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed in the nature, Al kein yaziv ish es ovi v'imay v'dovak v'ishtay. Man shall leave, he shall forsake his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and v'naseh boser echad, and they shall become one. That natural force, that's an ava sheina tliya b'dovad. That's not dependent on any factor. That's a force that brings man and woman together. They forsake their parents and they become one. The greatest force of love is when it brings two people together that are not in totality by themselves, and together they are mashlim. Together they make each other in totality into one. And the sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them Odom only after he brought them together. Only after they were together were they considered perfect. So here, this is the natural love. But then, there's another aspect in man and wife, which is an ava atluya b'dovar, which is a love which is dependent on a factor. And that is, it states, v'asla eza kenegdai, that women will be a helpmate for man. This means she'll do good things for him. So this is another reason why man loves his wife, because she does so many good things for him. Now that's an ava tluya b'dovar. That's dependent on factors already. So this love is mixed. The first force is not is a force which will not disintegrate. But the second force is, because since it's dependent on factors, what happens if she turns around against him? Then, bottle adover, bottle ava. The factor is removed, so the love is removed. That's why we find with the love, avas noshim, of a man and a woman, basically it's a love that will never cease. But sometimes we do find that it will cease. So that was the middle point. The love that David and Yehonasan had for each other was dependent on no other factor. None whatsoever. And that's why David said, it's niflesi, it's more wondrous than avas noshim, than the love of women. And that's why the Tanna, the author of this Mishnah, used that example when he wanted to show that it was an ava that will never cease. And why will it never cease? Because if it's a true, perfect love, then they become one in perfection. Something which is one in essence can never be divided into two. Something which is one is ein labita leilam, can never be divided into two. And if it's a perfect love, then they become one totally. Now, we have a question. If this is an ava sheina tluya b'shum davar, if this is a love which is dependent on nothing, so what is it dependent on then? The answer is, it's not dependent on other factors, and it's not even dependent, like if you take two people, a man and a woman, or two women or two men, they become very, very close friends. There can be this force of love, even though what attracted them was not necessarily the good points in the other person. For example, a proof. a son. A father, and certainly a mother, loves a son. Why does she love a son? She loves a son because he's so good. Because he's so good to her. That'll make her love him more. But she loves the son from the instant he's born. She loves the son even before he's born. What good points did she see in him? What qualities did she see in him? What character did she see in him? A mother loves a son even when the son stands up against her. Causes her great sorrow, causes her great suffering because of that. But nevertheless, the love doesn't diminish. The love can become aggravated, but the love is still there. You know, the world has a phrase, love is blind. There's truth in that. That love is blind. Like a father or a mother to a son. If it's a good son, they'll love him. If it's a bad son, they'll love him because it's their son. Now, why is this? And the reason is because it's part of them. Actually, this is a concept that women understand better than men. Some of the Mefarshim say that when David said, Yeser me avas noshim, my love for Yenison was greater than the love of women, there's two ways how to learn. Than the love that a man has for a woman, and some Mefarshim, some of the Rishonim learn, than the love that a woman has. Because a woman has a stronger love than a man. And why noshim? Why in plural? Because a woman possesses this power to have a blind love for her sons, which is stronger than the blind love that a father has for a son. And the same thing for her husband. We see that. Now, where does this ava come from? This love comes from not because you see good points in them, but because they are part of you. That since the son is a part of the father and a part of the mother, and together they make a whole, then there's this force of love. The son is a greater part of the mother than the father. He's already quite a bit displaced from the father than from the mother. So therefore this blind love, this force is greater by the mother than the father. So this, therefore the question we're asking, what does it mean, an ava sheina tluya bedover? A love which is not dependent on anything. What do you mean? Every love is dependent on something. Alright, what we should say is that there's good reasons and bad reasons. You marry a woman because of her good qualities, there's good reasons. You marry a woman because of her wealth, there's bad reasons. But it's dependent on something? Not true. There's an ava, a love, which is dependent on nothing. Then why does it exist? It exists because the second party is a chelik, is a part of the first party, and therefore there's this attraction that unifies them. Regardless of what they see in each other. It's human nature, you find many times, even children, you put children together, you'll find that sometimes they're with another one, another few people, and they don't become friends. Sometimes they're together with another one and they become friends inseparable. There is something there mysterious that's attracting them together. So this was the Avas David V'Yenison. Well, it was perfect. Now, if we go into a little deeper, it means Nafshi Kshur B'Nafshi. That it seemed that they had an attachment, a chibor, an attachment to each other spiritually. Spiritually, there was an attachment to each other, which made them one. So this answers our questions. Now, the Maral asks in this Mishnah, what is the Tana? Masechta Oves, as he always refers to as the Masechta of Derech Eretz, Musar and Derech Eretz, comes to instruct us in a way of life. What does Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, the Tana, want to instruct us here? He wants to tell us a perfect love like Jonas and the David. What does he want to instruct us? He says what he wants to instruct us is this is the love that Hashem has for Yisrael. We might think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Yisrael because of their righteousness. Because you're the righteous, most righteous of all of the nations. Therefore, he has this love for you. And if that would be the situation, then it would be an Avat Libedover. It would be a love which is dependent on something. And Botel Adover, Botel Ava. Once the righteousness disappeared, so the love also disappeared. And therefore, many of the nations claim this. Many of the nations claim that Hashem has forsaken us because we turned away from Him. So He's forsaken us, and this is why we're in Golos. And Cholila, heaven forbid, a Jew could think like that. Why did He choose in Klal Yisrael? Because of His great love for their righteousness and their qualities. And now that they have lost them, so Hashem has forsaken them. And they're lost in the exile. This is why He's telling you this. Because many, many times in the Tanakh, in the Torah and the Levim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks how He loves Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty's love, for certainly is perfect. Man's love is not perfect. Women's love is better, but also perhaps not perfect. But the Almighty's love certainly is perfect. And if many, many times in the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, He speaks of how He loved Israel, and the rabbis incorporated in the Berocha, Ohev Amo Yisrael, which we say every day, He loves His nation Israel. That's speaking about a perfect love. An Ava Sheina Tluya Bishum Dovaram, a love which is not dependent on anything. And therefore, no matter what Israel does, that love never ceases. If that love was based on the mitzvahs that Israel did, then that's something else. He loves Israel more because of those things. But that's not the basis of the love. And therefore, even when Israel does not do mitzvahs, He still has this unending love for them. And like we see that, like we spoke on Yom Kippur, that after the second tablets, He gave the second tablets never again. Did He take the Torah from Klal Yisrael? And with this, the Maral explains, now who was the pillar of this love? Where did this love come from? This came from Avraham. Who is the one that is known as Yedid? Hashem. And who is the other one that is known as Yedid? Avraham. Yedid Shleim HaMelech is known as Yedid Ben Yedid. My beloved, the son of my beloved. But the first beloved was Avraham. Zera Avraham Ayavi. And what this Maral says, really, there's a great kasha. The Ramban asks. In Parshas Lech Lecha, what we learned last week, it starts Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, go out of your land, and go out of your, away from your families. Your father, go to the land that I'll show you. And Hashem starts to heap brocha after brocha. Last week we went into detail of all the brochas, the blessings that Hashem gave to Avraham. But nowhere does it tell us why He's giving these brochas to Avraham there. Not here. The previous parsha only tells about Terach, and that Terach gave birth to Avraham, and Avraham married Sarah, and this was it. And the Ramban asked first, it should have told us of the greatness of Avraham and what everything he did, and then Hashem should give him brochas. Not till later does it start telling us about Avraham's deeds. And the Maral says, why? Because had it first spoke of his deeds, and then of the brochas, I would say that Hashem chose Avraham and brought him close because He loved his qualities and his deeds. And that's why He loved His children. But it would be an Ava Tluya B'Dovar. It would be a love which is dependent on factors. So once those factors are removed, then the love is forgotten about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that the reason why he loved Abraham, as a father loves a son. As it states, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. You are sons to Hashem. Why does a father and mother love a son? Naturally, if they're good, they have more nachas from them. They love them more. But the basis of the love is because they're part of them. Avraham brought himself to such heights, where he came so close to Hashem that he became a son to Hashem. And this is the concept of what we find in the Torah, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, that you are sons to Hashem. Avraham brought himself so high with his greatness of wisdom and his greatness of qualities that he became part of Hashem. Like it says, Ki Yadativ. He's part of me. How can I conceal from him what I'm going to do when Yadativ, he is part of me? And because he rose to a height of being part of Hashem, they became a unit. They became a unit, an inseparable unit. And it wasn't dependent on any other factors. And this was a unit which was impossible to sever. And this went to his seed. So he chose Avraham because he rose to the level of becoming so close to Hashem. And that's why he chose his seed. And that's inseparable. Just like no matter what a person will say, he can tell his son that I disown you, you're no longer my son, but that doesn't help. He's still a son. And therefore their natural love is still there. Naturally, you can make a father angry. You can make a father aggravated. You can make a father upset. And you can make a father suffer. And even more so a mother. But the basis of the love is still there. And evidently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw this through his prophecy when Abraham was yet to be born. And that's why the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu states that Beterem etzorcho babetn yidaticho. I already knew you. I knew what you were going to do later. So therefore I was already bringing you closer now. Bebetem yidaticho. And I sanctified you in the womb. So this is the madrego. This is the level of Avo that Avraham created. For he had an overflowing compassion for people, for all people. An overflowing compassion for Hashem. He had for people because they were the creations of Hashem. And he had lifted himself so high to the point where he was part of Hashem, where there was this force of unity between them that was inseparable. And this is why Hashem chose his seed. So this is what we mean when we say that Abraham was the Amud Ahava of love and the Amud HaChesed, Chesed which comes from love. Why does a person want to do for others? And this is what we mean when we say Avod Me'avo, to serve Hashem for no other reason in the world. See, what the Rambam is telling us now is an Avo Sheina Tlui B'Dover. He says, when you serve Hashem because you fear Him, or because of duty, or because of reward, or because of fear of punishment, even though this is all good, but this is an Avo Tlui B'Dover, this is not perfect love. But when you serve Hashem for no other reason in the world except your great love for Hashem, so this, the Rambam says, his language is, he Maile zuhi maile gedele meod. This is a level which is very, very great. Vein kol chochem zechelo. And not every wise man, even all wise men, merit this. Vehi mailes Avrom avinu. This is the level which Avraham served. Shikora akorish bochu ayavai. Akorish bochu called him my beloved. Nefishalei avad elu me'avo. Because he served Hashem only with this great love. And this is what we mean when we say Elokei Avraham, the God of Avraham, the way Hashem, the way Avraham saw Hashem, and the way he served him. So this was the first pillar which was given to Klal Yisrael, the Reishis, and this was by the first of the Ovis, Avraham Avinu. We should all be Zeicher to live up to the reputation of being the Zera Avraham, the seed of Avraham.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.